pass out this table.
Where is this thing?
I thought you were showing me.
There we go.
Thank you, sir. Oh, boy.
All right. You want a Bible?
Yes, please. I'm going to be doing the reading. Ooh, I can't just have.
I'll be over here.
Well, good morning. The last time, and you stuck with me again, the last time I was here was during the Christmas season at the close of last year, and those were three glorious weekends. I really do appreciate the memories of that time and looking forward to today. This is the second year I spent Father's Day with you, and I can't think of any other church. And be careful to say that. I don't know who's listening. That I'd rather have Father's Day with. So I'm glad to be here with you today. Why don't we pray? And then why don't I do a song first? Maybe a verse, maybe a medley associated with celebrating Father's Day. I am so glad that my Father in heaven, he tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful thing in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, Jesus loves me. And I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even you. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, and of Jesus and his love. And I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Heavenly Father, come before you once again. Not that Pastor Barry's present prayer wasn't sufficient. God, I know him to be a man of God, a prayer warrior. Pray for me anytime. But I feel led, dear God, to come to you personally. Acknowledging, especially, Lord, as we talk about this whole perspective of unity, humility. Lord, your word says, we need to be clothed with humility. So I pray, Lord, that you would clothe me with humility by your Spirit. Because, Lord, I realize I can do nothing without you. And I need your help this morning. God, I'm physically tired. I'm really, really worn out. You know that. God, I started the day off, dear Father, improperly. Lord, I let the enemy get to my head or the flesh on the way here. And God, I just want to openly confess that, asking you once again, Lord, to forgive me. And Lord, please, if you would be so kind to fill me with your Spirit. You said, dear Father, you'll give your Spirit to those who ask you. I'm asking right now. Give me the measure of the Spirit, Lord, that I need to come alongside of this pastor to help to perfect the saints today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I need a couple of guys. You, young man, come up, come on down. And you, please come down. He's a little shy. John, come on. You're not shy. I want to do. No, you don't need your Bible. I just need you to help me to pass out some tracts. Now, how many of you remember that I gave you a gospel tract in your gift package last year?
I do.
You do? Anybody else? Did you read it? I don't think so. Bet Somerville said she did. You didn't read yours either, did you?
I can't remember. I wasn't here, brother.
Well, you got the package, though. But anyhow, I won't pick on you. Not in the church you passed it. But anyhow, I wrote this. I'm going to tell you to sit out in a minute. Listen, I wrote this gospel tract. And I said that for this purpose, because I wanted to take advantage of the gift that God has given me to speak the gospel. And so I wrote this tract out, and I go up to people on certain holidays, and I give them a tract. But it broke my heart over the last few days to give tracts to just men at random on celebrating Father's Day. These are some big burly guy. A couple of guys started crying, not because of the singing, but their hearts were just penetrated. And one guy called me back the other day weeping, I mean bawling over the phone. And I'll show you why in just a second. So I'm going to demonstrate to you how I use this track, okay? I want you to pretend that I just met you, okay? Very quickly, I'll do this. How are you doing today, man?
Good.
Listen, happy Father's Day. I've got a gift for you. Would you receive it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, happy Father's Day to you. Oh, happy Father's Day to you. May you find Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy Father's Day to you. Oh, happy Father's Day to you. Maybe the best year you ever had. Do you appreciate that gift?
Yeah.
Well, I've got another one for you. This is a tract that I wrote. It's called God's Greatest Gift, The Love of God. I even put my signature on the back of it. My granddaughter asked me, she said, Grandpa, how old were you when you took that picture? Didn't you, Lisa? Listen, but would you take that and would you please read it? God bless you. Happy Father's Day.
You too.
Okay, that's good. That's it. Oh, would you pass somebody out? Make sure you get one for yourself. And make sure you read it this time. Now, folks, listen. I know that seemed very, very simple. And, you know, people used to think, listen, when I did stuff like that, they thought I was a maniac. And I guess I am. But that's an effective way to get the gospel out. People were reading that tract, walking away from me, brother. Amen? And so that's just one of the different methods. And I have a lot of different methods that I use, you know, to get the gospel out there. All right, so let's get in the message. We already prayed, right? We won't keep you long. And I'll refrain from, by the way, I need to mention that me and the pastor are going to tag team today. I won't tell you who said this, Pastor, but he asked me and he laughed me to scorn over the phone. He called me the other day and I called him. And he said, aren't you intimidated that you're going to be preaching and the great scholarly man's going to be there, Pastor Somerville? And I said, I ain't scared of him. You know, so, you know, if you can't beat him, join him. And so we're going to tag team. He's going to do the scripture reading. And if I get stumped in a certain area of scripture, well, we'll just let him answer as long as he doesn't take over. And I don't think he will, because he wants to eat too, okay? All right. Where do we start? Beloved, typically we have established Father's Day as a day to honor our biological fathers and keeping the fifth of the great commandments. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right. We are to honor our mothers and fathers every day, not just one day. Can we say amen to that? Those fathers who we count as not worthy of any honor should be honored not because of what they did or didn't do, but because of who they are. For some reason, God allowed them to father you. For example, here's my testimony. My mother died when I was 6 years old. And there was eight of us. And we had more than, I don't want to defame my mother. But anyhow, we had a couple guys that were father figures for us. Let me put it to you that way. And we had one that kind of stayed around a lot. At one time, I thought he lived with us, but I found out down the road that he didn't live there. And I'm sure that's the reason why when my mother died, it wasn't long after that he was gone. He just disappeared. And so I found out years later that he really wasn't my biological father, you know. But for years, I thought he was. For years, even though everybody else in the family scorned him, I needed a daddy. And so I accepted him that way. I honored him that way, even though he abused me, abandoned me. God says to honor him. And so in my youth, I did honor him that way. He died when I was 14 years old. And the other family members laughed us to scorn, but I made sure I went to his funeral. Now, that was the example I wanted to show you in reference to honoring someone who seemingly is not worthy of honor. You know, and now that I'm saved, I know that God has commanded us to honor. And we know we need to just honor people that we don't believe deserve honor by faith, because God said to. Can I get an amen there? Beloved, the fathers who don't reflect the Heavenly Father are worthy of honor according to the fifth commandment. The fathers who are a reflection of the Heavenly Father and what they do and don't do are worthy of double honor. Men like John Saley. By the way, where is John Jr.? You tell him I missed him. I looked for him all morning. The apple don't fall too far from the tree. You've done well, brother, by listening to your wife. Listen, brother, she does the work. We do the spanking sometimes. All kidding aside, you're worthy of double honor.
I can say one thing.
No, not now.
We're proud of our family. We give honor that we give.
Let me finish preaching this. I'm preaching today.
You put me on the spot. Thank you,
God. You get this too? I love him. Listen, brother. Thank you, John. You deserve double honor. And I'm just pointing out people that I know. Eric, some good men here. I'm sure that you, let me get to the point. Those who are reflecting Christ, God, are worthy of double honor. However, our Heavenly Father, because of who he is, he's God. And what he did, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He deserves double honor. As a matter of fact, at the close of the message, the last point of the message is, Jesus received the highest honor for what he did. Amen? He was honored more for after what he did than he had before he did it. If that makes any sense to you. Makes sense to me. Beloved, we should celebrate our biological fathers the same way we do our biological mothers. All things, let me say this, and I threw that in there, because sometimes fathers get kind of shortchanged. On Father's Day, as you look at what happens for moms, and Valentine's Day, it doesn't belong to us anymore. Listen, spoil your husband. Spoil your father. Is that okay? Are we worthy?
She's already done that.
Okay, well, she's already done that? All right. Today, we're going to gift our Heavenly Father with what He asks us for to do whenever we do it. You know, let me back up. I forgot to make this comment. There's times that because of what our biological fathers have done, it seems, and sometimes it is, almost impossible to personally honor them. Not for what they did, because there's a lot of children, people who've been abused by their dads. So when I make that comment about honoring them, I need to also add, all things being equal. You understand what I mean? All things being equal.
Wouldn't be here without our fathers, would we?
We wouldn't be. Thank you, brother. Thank you. That's why you're sitting up there. Thank you, brother. Did you hear what he said? We wouldn't be. Oh, you got your mic, right? Okay, let me move on. Let me move on. Beloved, we should celebrate our biological fathers the same way we do our biological mothers, all things being considered. Explain, I just did. Beloved, really spoil your fathers and husbands today. Today, we are going to gift our Heavenly Father with what He asks for us to do whenever we do it. Every third Sunday, you celebrate the Lord's table by remembering who He is and what He did. Beloved, let us honor our Heavenly Father by remembering four things, at least four things today. And these are points from the message. His humility, His humanity, His humiliation, and His highest honor. Pastor, why don't you pray for us again briefly? And we'll get into the message.
Heavenly Father, we again ask your blessing as we hear the Word of God today. Pray you fill your servant with your Spirit. Give him strength, Lord. We pray, Lord, that what is preached will be clear and understood and received. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would, please, the title of the message is The Gospel in a Nutshell. The Gospel in a Nutshell. And our text is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. If you'll turn there, and Pastor Barry will read them for you, but you want to turn the pages, amen, on your own. I'd like to hear some pages ruffle anyhow. And while he's turning there, I'm going to make this comment about what a nutshell is for some of us who might be questioning, what is that? The phrase nutshell means a short, precise summary of something. For example, Philippians 2, 5 through 11, watch this, has been said by many to sum up the gospel, the good news about the person and the work of Jesus Christ, from Genesis to Revelation, in just seven verses. The same can be said about John 3:16. It's a gospel in a nutshell. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. However, that's a smaller nutshell. Pastor, would you read that portion of scripture?
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you, sir. The thoughts, the four thoughts, once again, this message is the humanity, the humility, hold those thoughts, the humanity, the humiliation, and the highest honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. First point, the humility of Christ, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Humility defined is basically the absence of pride. It is the opposite of pride. Humility is best defined by the nature of who Christ is. He is meek and lowly of heart. He is God. He is a God of humility. He is the opposite of Satan, who is the God of this world, the God of pride, the essence of pride. His nature is characterized by selfishness. Me, myself, and I. Our Lord's nature is characterized by selflessness. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Would you read that, Pastor?
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Let this mind, verse 5, be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind, let this mind. You know, that's a commandment, my brethren. Let this mind, this mindset, this pattern of thinking or attitude be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. How in the world am I going to do that? As prideful as I am. My goodness, if you're at my home this morning at about 8:45 as I was trying to gather the church, the family to get out of the house and stressing everybody out, starting with me. And I'm the spiritual one. You know, I asked my granddaughter after things settled down, we got in the car, and I said, who do you expect to lead the family more like Christ than anybody else? She just looked at me without hesitation. You. They're watching. If we're not careful, more is caught than taught. It's another message, but I just had to throw that out there. And when I get into those situations sometime in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit breaks my heart when I look at my grandkids, I don't want them not wanting what I have. I've got a great wife. She's not perfect, but she definitely doesn't have a perfect husband. You know, we get on each other's nerves, and then sometimes, you know, they get into their little skirmishes, and you know, I go and I try to correct them, and I'm wondering, the Holy Spirit tells me, who taught them that? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? The mind of humility, humbling yourself, looking at the needs of others before you're looking at yourself. God says, let this happen. And that's a command. How many of you know that's a command? Which means that God he's given us the ability to do that. He never commands us to do anything that he hasn't given us the ability to do. Well, how, you say? I'm glad you asked. How are we able to do that? Not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. You have to be filled with the Spirit of God. And you're filled with the Spirit of God as you obey the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Okay, let me stop preaching. Can I keep preaching? Maybe I can't help it. Woe unto me. Where did I leave off? Here we go. How humble was our Lord? Here's seven steps of humility downward that he did, beginning with this verse, who being in the form of God. Pastor, what verse is that?
That's 6.
Verse 6. Who being in the form of God. You might have to explain this for us, Pastor, as I go through this. Who being in the form, what does that mean? He was the express image of the invisible God. Brother, Pastor, if you'll turn there and read verses 1 through 3 as I move on and I come back. Jesus was, is, and always will be the Son of God, or God the Son, according to the Word of God. Pastor, would you read that? Hebrews chapter 1, verses. While you're turning, I'll quote another verse that you're all familiar with in reference to proving that Jesus is God. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, you can turn there, but I'm moving. Oops. So you better be quick. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and his life was the light of men. And in verse 14, it says this, and the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. God became a God-man. 100% God. But that sounds too crazy to believe. And it did to me before I got saved. But I believe it now because God said it. And I believe it is because the Spirit of God showed it to me. And I'll prove that too when we pass after you read that portion of Scripture.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Well, there's a lot there. And I think you've walked them through Hebrews before, haven't you? Well, brother, why don't you just give me a brief opportunity to hear what you taught in that portion of Scripture, because that's the beginning of it, that's all, isn't it? And in the meantime, John, you wanted to read, would you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16? Wait until I give you a cue. But, Pastor?
Okay. Thanks for putting me on the spot, by the way.
Well, I told you, I warned you. This is what you get for picking on me.
All right. So God revealed himself in the past through the prophets. Of course, that's pretty much the whole Old Testament. But all of them were prophesying the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus is the ultimate one by whom God revealed himself, because he's God in flesh.
Amen.
And verse 3 just expresses to us that he is the brightness of God's glory, because he also is God. He is the express or the perfect image of the person of God, again,
somebody
because
should,
he is God.
Somebody should shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Pastor.
And as God, he became flesh in order that he might go to the cross of Calvary as a human being, because a human being has to take the place of other human beings. And when he died there, he cleansed us from our sins as he gave himself in our place, paid the payment fully, and because of that, he deserves to return to heaven and to rightfully take his place at the exalted right hand of God.
That was too much, but you did good. You summed up my whole message. No, thank you, Pastor. John, would you read that portion of Scripture, please? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. But read it loudly. You know, you read it. You don't have a mic, so I'll quote after you. Go ahead.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness.
Wait a minute. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Go ahead.
God was manifest in the flesh.
God was manifest in the flesh.
Justified in the spirit.
Justified in the spirit.
Seen of angels.
Seen of angels.
Preached unto the Gentiles.
Preached unto the Gentiles.
Believed on in the world.
Believed on in the world.
Received up to glory.
Listen, we won't have time to break down every verse today. You know, one of the things I meant to mention when I by way of introduction is to say that all I can ever do on my best day, even if I had all day, and I'm not going to keep you here all day, just scratch the surface. We just want to get to the point, so I'm going to move on. But these verses are proof texts that Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh. There was one more I wanted to make mention of before I make this other point. I'll make that point for the sake of time. Why? In the meantime, Pastor, would you turn to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, and just read, and I'll make the comment on this one. Okay. Do you believe, let me ask you, brethren, do you believe that Jesus is God?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus is God?
No, he
is. I'm sorry?
No, he is.
Do you believe that Jesus is God?
Yes.
What? Do you believe that Jesus is God?
Yes.
Dad! Do you believe that Jesus is God?
Yes.
Why do you believe it? I'll tell you why. Because listen, this is the only way that you ever believe that Jesus is God. In my infancy as a Christian, I used to battle with quote unquote Jehovah's Witnesses. I used to battle with people of other religions when they said, prove to me that Jesus is God. I don't believe that. Until I saw this verse right here. Pastor, would you read that?
Okay, 16:13, Matthew. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Keep one more verse.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
There it is. The reason why you believe that Jesus is God is because God had to reveal it to you. God spoke into your heart by his Spirit. The Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit, and he put that in your spirit. And a person who doesn't believe it, one of the major reasons why is they don't have a heart to know it. God wants to reveal himself to everybody. And he did that through Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's move on. Who being in the form of God, it goes on to say that he thought it was not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he thought it was a thing. Being equal with God was a thing that he had to seize or to rob or to clutch or to embrace or to come to a place where he might think that he's trying to take something away from God the Father, something that is grasped or held on to. Though Jesus had all the rights and all the privileges and of deity or as God, he had all those before he came down. He willingly gave them all up for a season, for 33 years when he walked the earth. God walking among men. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He goes on to say, but he made himself of no reputation. Or he emptied himself of at least five things. He emptied himself of heavenly glory. John chapter 17, verse 5. We have to read that verse, brother, and I'll wait for you. I'm going to move on, but we'll come back to that. Are you with me? Please don't go to sleep on me. It's not that hot in here. Oh, I didn't show you my squirt gun, did I? You want to see it? It's got a water pistol.
Not really.
Well, I tell you what, don't go to sleep. You won't see it.
Hey, brother.
Yes, sir.
And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
The Jesus is praying, knowing that he's about to go to the cross. And because he was taking the sin of all mankind on himself, he knew for a moment of time that he was going to be separated from the Father the first time ever. And so he prayed after he finished. He said, Lord, after I finish the work you gave me to do, give me that glory back again. Well, he emptied himself, or he made himself of no reputation by even though he was worthy of all that honor, he came down. He left his heavenly home. When he left his heavenly home, where Jesus was the darling of heaven, where he's being worshipped at the same throne with the heavenly Father, all heaven and all creation was worshiping him. But he stepped down. And he left it all to come down to a place where he was born in a manger. In a manger, for some of you, we got farmers in here. That's a stinking animal infested trough. Isn't that true? He had straw for a pillow. He had swaddling clothes for rags. There was no room for him in the inn. This actually happened. This is not just kind of some kind of story tale. Is it, Sister Beth? He came down and submitted himself to the authority of the Father. He said, I come to do thy will, oh my God. He submitted himself in faith to the Father. It said in one place, in 2 Corinthians 8:9, you don't have to turn there, but it said that he that is rich beyond measure in heaven became poor so that we might be rich. He didn't empty himself of his deity. You were waiting to hear that, weren't you? He was going to say it anyhow. He could have jumped right in. He didn't empty himself of his deity or the fact that he was God. He just covered it with human flesh. And every now and then he allowed his glory to come out, like when he was transfigured on the Holy Mount. When he walked on water, when he created certain miracles. For more often than not, he was submitted to the ministry of the Holy Spirit on his earthly mission. Amen? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he is, was, always will be the Son of God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Pastor, read those verses as we move along.
Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
My beloved brethren, please let me motivate, challenge, and encourage you. Don't dare allow the flesh to encourage you to familiarize yourself so much with the scriptures, and this particular portion of scripture, to where you have no feeling about it, to where it doesn't have any. If we just meditate on this portion of scripture, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So I want you to think about my humility. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, it said that he took upon the form of a man. Of the perfect man, the essence of a perfect man, being God at the same time. Well, how did he do that? Only God could do that. I believe it because he showed it to me. Amen? He became a slave to God, came to do his will, a willing servant, bowing down before him, who was made in the likeness of men. Experiencing the same things that we go through, the same, except for sin. He identified with us, and if we had time, we go to Hebrews chapter. We don't have time for that, do we?
No.
Okay. But for homework, Hebrews chapter 2, please read that. Meditate on that. Would you do that, please, for your own benefit and for God's glory? Took upon the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, the same appearance of a man. We won't turn to this scripture either, but it said he had no comeliness, no attractiveness. I'm going to break some of your hearts. He didn't have blue eyes and brown hair, or blonde hair. No, he didn't have wool hair or bronze feet. You see, that's what it says in Revelation. It's talking about, listen, figuratively over there. He was a Jew. Humanly speaking, amen? But more importantly, he was a man, Christ Jesus. So we see his humility, we see his humanity. We need to look at his humiliation. Brother, why don't you read those verses, and we'll be done in 5 minutes after you read Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 53. What we get here, you know, we purposely, for the sake of time, considering you folks here, we had him read Psalms chapter 22 in opening this morning to give us a graphic picture of why, one of the reasons why Jesus begged the Father and sweat, drank great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking the Lord, God, knowing what he was going to go through, knowing all that he was going to suffer. He asked the Father, listen, is there anything else I can do? Let this cup pass from me. But the Bible says he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And he surrendered to God, even though he knew what he was going to go through. He's going to read some of those things that he suffered. Isaiah chapter 53, if you'll turn there. Pastor, anytime you're ready.
All right, I'm going to begin reading at verse 3 of chapter 53, Isaiah. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth.
Praise the Lord.
He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Beloved, I certainly won't try to take time to elaborate on that because that portion of scripture speaks for itself. But as he was reading, the Holy Spirit put something in my spirit to just remind you. He said, tell him, Tony. He didn't say it audibly. I just felt it in my heart. I have not seen, nor ear has heard, or entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But I have revealed them unto me by the Spirit of God. He knows all the deep things of God, and this is deep. And he wants to show those deep things to us, to speak to our hearts, to remember who Jesus is. Was what he did for you. Why did he do it? The Bible says that, but God commendeth his love towards us, demonstrated his love towards us on the cross. He died for you. 2,000 years ago, today, picture this in your mind. We call it the sanctified imagination. Picture this in your mind. At the cross, after he had been beaten beyond recognition, skin poured off of his bones. We could see his bones. We don't have time to really draw that picture as well as I'd like to, but picture it for yourself. In that hour, he's on the cross, and the sin of all of mankind past, present, and future, each and every person's sin, mine and yours. You say, well, I'm not saved. Your sin was there too. And God poured out all that sin onto him in the moment of one time. And Jesus knew that that was going to happen. Can you imagine? I mean, you can't imagine that, what that's like for you. And you're sinful. You're a sinner. Well, this is God. The thing that he hates the most being poured on him. And that's when Jesus cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? We see the humiliation of Christ. Then we see the highest honor. Pastor, I'm going to let you read the verse and I'm going to get out of your way and you can close the service and do what you want in the church that God has called you to take care of before you drop the trap door and I'm gone. Arrivederci.
What verse you want me to read?
You weren't paying attention. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you. It was Philippians chapter, the last two verses.
Okay.
He's a little bit smarter than me.
All right, thank you, brother. Of course, we could probably preach 7 sermons on this passage of Scripture because it's so intense. But Jesus was not just humiliated, he was also exalted because of his humiliation. Before you can have a crown, you have to bear the cross. Amen. And that's what he did. So let's just be reminded again, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, as we also read in Isaiah 53, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And because of what Christ did at Calvary, we are able to submit to that name. We are able to confess it. Fortunately, we do so before he comes in judgment, and those who have refused to confess it will be forced to because of what he has done and what they have rejected.
Amen.
So we're thankful for the emphasis this morning on the humility of Christ coming into the world. Just imagine that. Imagine, have you ever thought about what it would like to be God? Well, we really can't because we're so sinful.
Amen.
But if you were a perfect God who had all power, all knowledge, could understand what's going on everywhere, and would you exchange that to be a person, a human being, such as we are? It's just kind of an amazing thing. So as we close today, and before we come before the Lord's table, let's just thank the Lord again for what he's done. Heavenly Father, we're again thankful today that Jesus left the glories of heaven, took upon himself humanity, lived a perfect life, and walked this earth as your Messiah, as the one who would pay the penalty for our sin. We're thankful again, Lord, that he's returned to heaven. There he awaits his second coming. Not in salvation, Lord, but in judgment. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation he's provided as we come before your table. Help us to be thoughtful of the wonder of what Jesus has done. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.